And if you'd have your little handout ready, there's some verses there that we'll be using. This is a fairly short message today, but I trust that's one that stirs your hearts and helps you to really move toward the Savior today. Let's have a word of prayer as we start. You've got your Bibles open to the book of Luke and chapter 1, and you have your handout ready. Let's pray. Father, we would stop and be still before you and recognize in the festivities and joys of today, there is the reason why we remember this day. And whether it is the 25th or some other day in the year, it's not important. It is a day that we do remember your birth, and later in 2016 we will remember your death and resurrection. But today we focus on the wonder when God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, we come to focus on you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want you to put on your imagination a little bit at the start of this message. It is that silent night, that holy night, when Christ the Savior is born. Here we are in Bethlehem, a very small town not too far away from Jerusalem. We've travelled there in recent days, and in its dark streets shineth the everlasting light. But let's say we don't know it yet, for it's all been a hassle. The travel, the cold, the awkward accommodation. We're there because Caesar wants a census. This government, we mumble to ourselves. For us this night is a night just like any other. We know nothing of the birth of the king, but some do. Sure, we've heard the talk. There have been all kinds of speculation and theories when the Messiah would be born, and some even wondered where, although it's clear in the scripture. So many pore over the prophecies, wondering when he may come. But all the speculations have proved wrong. And so we haven't taken too much notice. We don't realize it's happened right under our very noses this night. But some do. Some have been prepared. But even if they had told us, would have we believed what they told us? Some were prepared and some were told after the birth. Some recognized the king immediately when they saw him. Would we have been one who understood who was born that night? Well, we have the biblical record, so let's find out. Let's observe the people who got the message. We're just going to consider five who got it. How silently the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. One who was told of his birth before it happened was, of course, Mary, because she loved God. The angel Gabriel called Mary highly favored, or another way to translate that would be greatly graced. We read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, greatly graced one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Well, the angel called her greatly graced, but Mary called herself a bondslave. We read in verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Maidservant is better translated a female bondslave. You know, it is only used of Mary in the entire Bible. But the male form, a male bondslave, is used of many. It's used of Paul and Timothy and Epaphras, of James and Jude and Peter and Moses. Mary was amongst good and godly company. In calling herself the bondslave of the Lord Jesus, Mary is saying that in love, she's determined to be his slave. Whatever God wants to do in her life, is okay with her. God has been working in Mary's life to bring her to this point. This point of loving dedication to her Lord. But she was unique amongst men and women. And her relative Elizabeth said to her in verse 42, in the second part of verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then again in verse 45, "Blessed is the one who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." But Mary recognized that all this blessing that she was receiving from God in being the mother of the Savior was undeserved. Totally undeserved. She was the bondservant of the Lord. Verse 46 continues, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" Verse 48, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." Verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Yes, Mary feared God, and she loved God. She was his slave. Whatever God had for her in her life was okay with her. Do you see, dear friends, that you are not really ready to hear from God until you, in love, make yourself the bond slave of God. You dedicate yourself totally to him. God could speak to Mary and she could believe. Now, are we ready to believe what God has to say to us, even today? Are we ready to hear from him? A second one who was told of the birth before it happened was Joseph. Of course, Mary and Joseph. But Joseph, because he was a godly man. If you're a godly man and you're engaged and you suddenly find the one that you're going to marry is pregnant, how are you going to react to that? Well, Joseph was a just man, a godly man, a righteous man, a fair man. So let's see how he reacted to that. On your sheets, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." He didn't want revenge. He must have heard. He didn't want revenge. He didn't want to shame her publicly. But Joseph was wrong about Mary. She hadn't done what he thought she had done. He, like Mary, needed a special word from God, and we read in verse 20 of Matthew 1, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" He must have rejoiced at that. Being a godly man, he must have said in his heart, "Yes, I knew Mary was different to that." And he must have rejoiced. We read in verse 24 of Matthew 1, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife." Joseph was a godly man and he obeyed God at the word of the angel. He too was ready to hear from God. Dear friends, I've knocked every door from Linden right through to Bullaburra. And let me tell you, the majority of people are not ready to hear from God. They say the Bible is full of errors. They say the science has disproved the Bible. They think that religion is merely a crutch to get through life. They think that there is nothing beyond the grave. Dear friends, they are wrong. Are you ready to hear from God, like Mary and Joseph? "No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." Jesus did come. Jesus did die. Jesus did rise again. And that makes all the difference if I believe it. I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about a relationship which is real and life-changing. When I believed and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin, that was the best decision I ever made. A third group was told of his birth some 500 years, way before Mary and Joseph. were told of his birth some 500 years before it happened. These were the Magi. They were ready to hear because they were waiting for the king. The story of the Magi begins in the book of Daniel, a book written by the prophet Daniel. He was a godly man who was numbered with the Magi, who were Babylonian priests. Daniel's prophecy regarding the Messiah was one of the more extraordinary prophecies regarding the Messiah, the king, because Daniel put the prophecy of the Messiah onto a secular calendar. In Daniel 9 and verse 25, we read, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem." Now, the command to restore and build Jerusalem came through a succession of kings, starting with Cyrus. He was a pagan king. This puts events on the secular calendar. "Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." The weeks is just talking about sevens. "There will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens." That's 69 sevens of years, or 483 years exactly. Daniel impacted the Magi. Some of them believed in the Lord, and they kept the things. They had his book there in the country of Babylon. Generation after generation, they waited for the coming king. They made the calculations. And one generation of Magi said, "It's got to be in our generation." And they started looking for a sign. They watched and they waited. And then sometime before the birth of the Lord Jesus, the sign was given. A light, a star, inverted commas, a light which moved in the sky. They followed it and were not surprised it led to Israel. For Daniel was Jewish, and indeed the Messiah was going to be Jewish. We read in Matthew 2 and verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men," that's Magi in the Greek, "came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" They were ready for the king because they waited for the king. Verse 11 of the same chapter, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." God could speak, and they would hear, for they believed in the living God, and they waited for this coming Messiah who was to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just as the Magi were ready for the first coming of Jesus Christ, may I ask you this morning, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you looking at the prophecies, and are you waiting for him to come? To be ready, you need, number one, to know him. You need to know him, and secondly, you need to be following him to be ready. There is a sign. There is a sign already. Israel is back in the land as the prophecy said she would be. The time will not be long. Probably. Who knows for sure, but probably in our generation. Therefore, dear friends, watch. Fourth, two who recognized the Savior immediately were Simeon and Anna. They recognized the Savior because they worshipped the King. They worshipped God. Because they genuinely worshipped God, they were ready to recognize who the babe really was. First of all, Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, back to your Bibles, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the blessing of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. So they came by the Spirit into the temple." So he came by the Spirit into the temple. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation.'" He knew it was the Savior. He recognized him immediately. Yes, it was in the temple where Simeon was used to worshiping. Just one thing. He wanted to see the Messiah before he died. And God granted to this man the desire of his heart. How his heart leapt for joy when he saw Jesus, just 6 weeks old at that time. Anna's story is similar. We read in verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She worshipped God. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. The Redeemer had come. She was glad to tell everyone who looked for it. Every truly saved person is a purchase. They have been redeemed. You see, God is the creator of heaven and earth. And dear friends, He is the creator of each one of us individually. And because He is our creator, He is the rightful owner of our lives, the rightful ruler of our lives. But God's enemy has stolen away the world from Him. Each individual has been taken away. He's stolen our hearts away and made us slaves. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent His Son to be the Redeemer, the one who by His blood would buy us back from the slave market and buy us to be His own special and precious possession. The word for buying back is redeem. Jesus is the Redeemer, the one who through His blood bought us, if we will only put our trust in Him as our Savior. I'm glad I've been bought with a price. In love, I gladly make myself the bond slave of the Lord Jesus. I want to be His, and I'm glad to be His. The old master was a wicked and cruel master. My new master, the Lord Jesus, is a wonderful master. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. He gives sight to the blind. He gives a hearing to the deaf. He makes the lame to walk. My Savior gives new life. Why don't you turn from your sin and make Him your Savior too? But a last group is different. Why did God specifically speak to them? I'm talking about the shepherds. Why the shepherds? Let's read the scripture. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, they were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told to them by the shepherds. The only commands that the shepherds received from the angels was, "Do not fear, don't be afraid." Nevertheless, the announcement made by the angel was grand and was miraculous. It was awesome. So they decided immediately to leave the flocks and go into the town of Bethlehem. And the scripture says they hurried, they went quickly on their way, they wasted no time, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe just as the angel said they would, in those very humble circumstances explained by the angel. They saw an ordinary babe, but they made known what the angels had told them. This baby is the Saviour. This baby is the promised Messiah. This baby is the Lord. This baby is the glory of God. This baby is the one who will bring peace to the hearts of men. But we might ask ourselves, why did the angels go to the shepherds? Why did God send the angels to the shepherds? Some have said because Jesus was the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd and the chief shepherd of the sheep. Of course God sent to the angels. Others have said because the shepherds were poor or because they were lowly. And there may be some truths in these things, but they're only guesses. Now, that God speaks to any of us is pure grace. That he gives us his word and speaks to us. What a privilege. Pure grace. But God especially speaks to those who he is drawing to himself. He especially speaks to those who are already his through his word and through his spirit. God spoke to Mary through an angel because she loved him and served him. God spoke to Joseph through an angel because he was a godly man and would respond appropriately. God spoke to the wise men because they believed the scripture that Daniel had written and they waited for the coming king. God spoke to Simeon and Anna because they already worshipped him. Do you see a trend in all those? Don't you see that all of those together, that God spoke because they all already had a relationship with the living God? Further, just step aside for a second and consider the resurrection of Christ and who it was whom Jesus appeared to. We read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, Peter tells us, "And we are witnesses of all these things which he, Jesus, did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly." Okay, so these are the resurrection appearances. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Jesus appeared to those who already knew him, already trust him, and he told them, "Now go tell everyone else." Don't we see that with the birth stories too? Don't we see that with the shepherds? Now, we don't have much information about the shepherds. I have thousands of resources in my library at home, but look them up. You won't find much detail about these shepherds. What we do know is, number one, they respond immediately to the angel, just like Joseph and Mary. Number two, we know that they were great witnesses to Messiah's birth, just like Anna and Simeon. Number three, we know that all the others that were told of the birth were people who knew God already. And number four, we know that they were given a special privilege to hear not just one angel, but a myriad of angels celebrating the birth of the Son. May I ask, to whom does God give special privilege like this? Why didn't God send the angels to the religious leaders? Well, why would he? They didn't believe in him. And they were the ones that rejected Jesus 30 years later. Why would God send the angels to them? No, God sent the angels to the shepherds because I am convinced, I can't prove to you, but I am convinced they already believed in Jesus. They were recognized the truth. They had open hearts to receive the truth. They were different from the religious leaders. Those religious leaders, do you realize, did not want a new king, because they were going to lose their own positions of power if there was a new king. We read in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Why? Because they were going to lose their positions of power. Why would God send the angels to them? The point I am making this Christmas day is that God reveals the King to those people whose hearts are ready to receive the King. Mary and Joseph and the wise men and Simeon and Anna, and yes, I am convinced the shepherd too, had open hearts to receive the truth about the Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The King was born that silent night, but some missed it. Don't do Christmas and miss Him. Have a ready and open heart to receive the King. Follow Him in love. Allow yourself to become His bondslave. Trust Him. Obey Him. Turn from all the things that your life has been occupied with and give your life to the King. It's the King's birthday that we celebrate today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Promised One, the Anointed One, the Redeemer, the Saviour, the Lord, full of grace and truth, to earth so that we might know what the Father is like. He had all love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and goodness, for these are the fruit of the Spirit, they are the fruit of the life of God in any person's life. Oh Lord, what a joy it would have been here to be here and to see His life and wonder at the gracious words that He spoke. We're glad that You've brought us to Yourself. We're glad to be Yours. We're glad You sent Him. We're glad that You sent Him to die, born to die. And we thank You for His life. We bless You this Christmas. Whatever else we do today, right now at this moment, we worship You and thank You for sending Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.